Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as The New York Times, The News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites Reverb.com and TriviaQuestionsNow.com. Question number one, who invented the electric guitar? Was that A, George Breed, a U.S. Navy officer in 1890? Was it B, Lloyd Lohr, a quality control supervisor at Gibson in 1919? Was it C, Leo Fender in 1946? Or was it D, Les Paul in 1962? And question number two, which electronic musical instrument is the only instrument played without touching it? Hint, it emits an eerie sound that was especially used in horror films of the 1940s and 50s. Is that A, a theremin, B, a glockenspiel, C, the Chapman stick, or D, the hydraulophone? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of July the 6th. Well, it was on this day back in 1882 that composer Percy Aldridge Granger was born. And it was 60 years ago today, 1958, that the first gold record album was presented by the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA. The award went to the soundtrack, Oklahoma. And in country, folk, and bluegrass music news, we have this article written by Ann Powers, published in NPR.org on the 26th of January, 2018, entitled World Cafe Nashville, Mary Got the Air. If you travel in Nashville's singer-songwriter circles, or literary circles, or progressive activist circles, you've probably witnessed Mary Gauthier bring a room to tears. Born in New Orleans, Gauthier has lived in Music City since 2001 and made her mark on both the mainstream country and Americana worlds. Her songs have been recorded by stars ranging from Tim McGraw and Blake Shelton to Bobby Bear and Betty LeVette. She is a regular performer at the Grand Ole Opry and a past winner of the Americana Association's Emerging Artist Award. Gauthier has released 7 studio albums, including the universally acclaimed Mercy Now and The Foundling, in which she confronted her past as an orphan, an adoptee, and a teenage runaway. She is also a published author. Only now, though, she has produced what she calls her best album, Rifles and Rosary Beads, a collaboration with veterans she met through Songwriting with Soldiers, an Austin-based nonprofit that holds workshops across the country pairing professional songwriters with military members and their families, using music as a route to self-expression and healing. Rifles and Rosary Beads features 11 of Gauthier's collaborations with this unique community. The album's honesty and insight into an often overlooked aspect of American democracy, the on-the-ground experiences of soldiers and especially the aftermath of their time in combat, is a gift in a contemporary moment full of chatter and political rhetoric. It shows how simply telling what can happen can cut through the divisions that distract us. Rifles and Rosary Beads is the product of compassion and a call for more compassion at a time when it's needed most. Edvard Grieg's Morning Mood introduces our classical music news, and this being Percy Grainger's birthday. This is a book written by Iron Oren, April 2007, in BachCantatas.com. Percy Grainger, his short bio. The Australian-born American pianist and composer Percy Aldridge Grainger was born to a father who was an architect who immigrated from London, England, and to a mother, Rose, from Adelaide, South Australia, also of English immigrant stock. Her father was an alcoholic. When Grainger was age 11, his parents separated after his mother contracted syphilis from his father, who then returned to London. Grainger's mother, who was domineering and possessive, although cultured, she recognized his musical abilities and took him to Europe in 1895 to study at Dr. Hoch's Conservatory in Frankfurt. There, he displayed his talents as a musical experimenter, using irregular and unusual meters. From 1901 to 1914, Percy Grainger lived in London, where he befriended and was influenced by composer Edvard Grieg. Grieg had a long-standing interest in the folk songs of his native Norway, and Grainger developed a particular interest in recording the folk songs of rural England. During this period, Grainger also wrote and performed piano compositions that presaged the forthcoming popularization of the tone cluster. Percy Grainger moved to the USA at the outbreak of World War I in 1914. His 1916 piano composition, In a Nutshell, is the first by a classical music professional in the Western tradition to require direct, non-keyed sounding of the strings, in this case with a mallet, which would come to be known as a string piano technique. When the USA entered the war in 1917, he enlisted into a United States Army band, playing the oboe and soprano saxophone, and spent the duration of the war giving dozens of concerts in aid of war bonds and liberty loans. In 1918, he became a naturalized citizen of the USA. His piano solo, Country Gardens, became a smash hit, securing his reputation. Although Grainger grew to detest the piece, with his newfound wealth, Grainger and his mother settled in the suburbs of White Plains, New York, after the war. He was friends with and admirer of Duke Ellington and George Gershwin. He eagerly collected folk music tunes, forms, and instruments from around the world, from Ireland to Bali, and incorporated them into his own works. Furthermore, alongside his love for Scandinavia, was a deep distaste for German academic music theory. He almost always shunned such standard and ubiquitous musical structures as sonata form, calling them German impositions. He was ready to extend his admiration for the wild, free life of the ancient Vikings to other groups around the world, which, in his view, shared their way of life, such as the ancient Greece of Homeric epics. And introducing today's jazz music news was Count Basie's Lullaby of Birdland. For an article titled Music and Sleep, Perfecting the Lullaby for Children and Adults. This is published in syncproject.co on the 3rd of July, 2017, by Paola Solis and Alex DeRott. Fetuses can start hearing sound when they are around 35 weeks old. Even though they can mostly listen to low-pitched sounds when they are in the uterus, they are still connecting with their mother's voice in a deep level, for example, through songs. Since newborns are used to hearing mostly listening low-pitched sounds, the first few months of their lifetime can be troublesome because they are being exposed to new sounds. However, lullabies then take an essential role in calming the newborn and easing sleep because it creates a steady rhythm and repetitive lyric they can fall asleep with. Also, one of the factors that influence this reaction from the newborn is the mother's voice because they are already familiarized with it. Specifically, physiotherapist Penny Simpkin, who specializes in childbirth, suggests that parents repeat a song while in utero in order to have the baby be familiarized with a melody before being born. This then helps the newborn relax when he or she hears the song after birth because it is not new to them. Subsequently, the melody can be used to ease sleep. However, the concept of specific songs or genres for sleep are not only practical for parents and newborns, but also for adults without children. 41 million individuals in the U.S. report sleeping less than 6 hours, even when the suggested amount of sleep for adults is 7 to 9 hours. This has led to sleep deprivation being addressed as a public health problem by the United States Centers for Disease Control, CDC, because it can result in people unintentionally falling asleep during the day, potentially while fulfilling important tasks like driving a car. Although the reasons why music appears to affect heart rate and sleep quality are still being explored, scientists have speculated it is due to the connection of music listening and emotions. But if one thing is certain, it is that music has been shown to stimulate secretion of hormones released in the brain while listening to music. Our brains release oxytocin, which has been shown to help people fall asleep. Just as lullabies help children calm down and slow their heart rate, adults also have the necessity to access music that creates these physiological changes to ease sleep. Previously on the Sync Project blog, we described the common characteristics of music for sleep or grown-up lullabies. Traditional Western classical music pieces with tempos of 60 to 80 beats per minute and stable rhythms are often reported as ideal for sleep. Interestingly, most of them have also low-pitched sounds, also one of the important characteristics for a baby's lullaby. At Sync Project, we believe music can be used as precision medicine, one day being integrated with or augmenting other standard care procedures for common clinical conditions such as pain management and sleep disorders. We developed Unwind.ai with acclaimed musicians at Marconi Union to make music that listens to your heart rate and is designed to help you relax before sleep. It's free, works on any web browser, and was designed for the smartphone to get a better idea of how music is affecting your physiology towards relaxation. Once again, that website, unwind.ai. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, "This is the World's First Robot to Conduct an Orchestra." This is published in CNBC.com on the 14th of September, 2017, written by Karen Gilchrist. Italy, a country steeped in ancient tradition, has taken a stride toward, in the 21st century, race towards automation, becoming the first country to showcase a robot-conducted orchestra. Yumi, that's spelled capital Y, small U, capital M, small I. A dual-armed robot designed by Swedish robotics firm ABB, accompanied Italian tenor Andrea Bocelli, and conducted the Philharmonic Orchestra in Pisa's Teatro Verdi. The robot was trained by Italian conductor Andrea Colombini. The gestural nuances of a conductor have been fully reproduced at a level that was previously unthinkable to me, he said. This is an incredible step forward, given the rigidity of gestures by previous robots. Described as a collaborative robot, it is designed to perform alongside humans and complemented the workforce. Already it has demonstrated its ability to solve a Rubik's Cube and thread a needle. Colombini insists that Yumi would not do away with the need for humans to inject spirit and soul into orchestral performances. I imagine the robot would serve as an aid, perhaps to execute in the absence of the conductor the first rehearsal, before the director steps in to make the adjustments that result in the material and artistic interpretation of a work of music. Carlos Santana's Oye Como Va introduces our rock music news, and it's written in Rolling Stone magazine on the 27th of July, 2017, by David Brown. It's entitled The Last Word. Carlos Santana, the guitarist on training his inner child, aging gracefully, and why he might do peyote again. What are the best and worst parts of success? I get to meet like-minded people like Harry Belafonte and Desmond Tutu. I also got to meet Dr. J and Wilt Chamberlain. You ask Wilt, hey, how's the weather up there? And he says, which state? Sometimes you also get to meet a knuckleball head. If I'm out at a restaurant, I'm more than happy to take a photo with someone, but if they get a little too intense or drunk, I tell them, I need you to honor my wife and honor me because you may have to call an ambulance for you and the police for me. They say, oh, I thought you were spiritual. I say, I am, and I'm trying to stay that way. What was your favorite book as a kid, and what does it say about you? Anthony Quinn's autobiography, The Original Sin. He had an inner child who was always putting him down. Everyone has some serious inner child that can be a demon and make you feel like crap. I learned to train that child to respect me and honor me. What was the most indulgent purchase you ever made? A fire engine red Excalibur car around 1970 or 71. I didn't know how to drive, so after 15 miles on the freeway, the police pulled me over. The guy says, you're Santana, right? Don't even try looking for your license because I know you don't have one. We're going to help you. He gave me a card for someone who would pick me up and teach me how to drive. People have always been very, very gracious and accommodating to this Mexican. What album do you put on to chill out? John Coltrane's A Long Love Supreme. That music could compel a person who is strapping themselves with bombs to cry. Like a woman cries when she gives birth, they'll think, what was I thinking? Coltrane's music corrects it. It's twisted and crooked mind. And how does one age gracefully? Some people get their face done. All I did was become conscious of what I was thinking. I said to myself, when you get on the freeway, someone's going to flip you the bird, so don't do like you used to do. Let the person have their energy, and 5 seconds later, you won't even remember this person. All of a sudden, all that emotional investment is not haunting you. You go, I passed the audition. What advice would you give to your younger self? Pay accountants and lawyers by the hours. Don't pay them a percentage. You have to show me how much you work in that hour and what you did. Does the state of the world shake your belief in God? When Hitler was in power, there was the resistance, and from there it went to the goatees and beatniks, and then to Bob Dylan in Greenwich Village, and then it went to San Francisco and the hippies. There's always a new wave. We're in that process now. We're approaching the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. If there's a reunion concert, would you participate? I might be coming to Woodstock with three bands. 50 years went by pretty quickly, but now I feel even younger and more clear, and I have more energy and more conviction than back then. That 1969 Woodstock was basically some of the highest I've been in front of so many people. Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake introduces today's local music, Summerfest 2018, NC Symphony. Saturday, July the 7th, 2018 at 7:30 p.m., Booth Amphitheater, Cary, North Carolina. Romantic Russian Nights. NC Symphony, Ruth Reinhardt conducting with David Hsu, piano. 22-year-old piano virtuoso David Hsu joins the symphony to perform a fiery showpiece, Rachmaninoff's Third Piano Concerto, plus tour the landscape of Russian music with rousing dance music by Borodin and selections from Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake. Go to ncsymphony.org or phone 919-733-2750 for more information and tickets. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, who invented the electric guitar? Was it A, George Breed, a U.S. Navy officer in 1890? Was it B, Lloyd Lohrer, a quality control supervisor at Gibson in 1919? Was it C, Leo Fender in 1946, or D, Les Paul in 1962? And the correct answer is, well, as noted by Rich Maloof in an article titled Who Really Invented the Electric Guitar? Published in Reverb.com on June 29, 2017, all of those individuals were instrumental, no pun intended, in producing the electric guitar. As much as we love a good story about the Eureka moment, the big inventions don't really come out of thin air. Carl Benz is known for inventing the first gasoline-powered car, but there were already wheels and buggies and combustion engines around. Thomas Edison invented the phonograph, but he was standing on the shoulders of those who had already recorded and reproduced sound. Who deserves credit for inventing the electric guitar? The answer is complicated. Like Benz's car and Edison's phonograph, the electric guitar was not an invention, but the result of an evolution. There were a lot of small innovations along the way to bring us the electric guitar as we currently know it. For example, George Breed, way back in 1890, a U.S. Navy officer, was granted a patent for his method of an apparatus for producing musical sounds by electricity. The apparatus was built onto a guitar and transferred vibrations from strings to an electric current. Over a five-year period, beginning in 1919, a quality control supervisor at Gibson, named Lloyd Lohrer, was experimenting with pickups and amplification. In 1923, he even built a prototype of an electrified harp guitar. By the time Leo Fender was first fleshing out solid-body electric designs around 1943, the first wave of electrified stringed instruments had already come. But progress in design and manufacturing had slowed down with the onslaught of World War II. But Leo's vision was not to simply build an electric guitar, but mass-produce an electric guitar. Fender embraced the new sound and sought a clean, amplified version of a string resonating on a solid body. His double pickup version, the Broadcaster, became the world's first commercially successful solid-body electric guitar. The Broadcaster was renamed the Telecaster shortly after its launch and is still in production nearly seven decades later. Finally, around 1927, 12-year-old Les Paul stuck the pickup from a record player inside his acoustic guitar, placed a telephone's mouthpiece near the strings, and wired them both to his parents' radio to function as an amp-speaker combo. Around 1939, Les started work on a solid electric prototype, a real Frankenstein object, later to be known semi-affectionately as the log. A solid block of pine formed the narrow center section of the log's body. The pickups were screwed into a bridge and had covers made of old clock parts. It had a tailpiece and a crude vibrato. Paul took his log to Gibson in 1941 and they laughed him off. But Gibson came back to him in the early 1950s when it decided it needed some competition for Fender's new Broadcaster. The Gibson Les Paul Goldtop was released in 1952. And the answer to our second question, which electronic musical instrument is the only instrument played without touching it? Hint, it emits an eerie sound that was especially used in horror films of the 1940s and 50s. Was it A, a theremin, B, a glockenspiel, C, the Chapman stick, or D, the hydraulophone? Answer A is the correct answer. Theremin. Its familiar haunting tones are coaxed out of the machine by waving one's hands around it. As noted in an article titled The World's Most Unusual Musical Instruments, published in cmuse.org on August 9, 2014, here are some musical instruments that are unusual, including some you probably never heard of. The theremin, for example, is an electronic musical instrument controlled without physical contact by the performer. It's named after the Russian inventor, Leon Theremin, who patented the device in 1928. Today's birthday composer, Percy Grainger, by the way, frequently used the theremin in his compositions. The Chapman stick is an electric musical instrument devised by Emmett Chapman in the early 1970s. A member of the guitar family, the Chapman stick usually has 10 or 12 individually tuned strings and has been used on music recordings to play bass lines, melody lines, chords, or textures. A hydraulophone is a tonal acoustic musical instrument played by direct physical contact with water. A glockenspiel is originally a set of graduated bells, later a set of tuned steel bars struck with wood. The glockenspiel became part of the orchestra in the 18th century. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.